Our second lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans. This is Paul's mature theology in the form of a letter written to the church at Rome. It was sent ahead of him. He had never visited the church when this was written. It was sent ahead of him by someone who was going there to work on his behalf before he came. I have a selection or a passage here from the very last chapter in the book, chapter 16. Listen for the word of God. I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church at Cenchreae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever way she may require of you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus, and who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their home. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my relative Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphaena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister. Greet Olympus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches in Christ greet you. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And amen. Please pray with me. Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be receptive to thee. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. I commend to you Phoebe. She has brought this letter to you. She's been a faithful minister not far from here in Corinth, up in Cenchreae. She's left there now because she has other things she needs to do. I am glad to send her to you. Treat her well. Help her in any way you can. Respect her and support her. And though I have not visited you yet, so haven't met all of the sisters and brothers in Rome, I've still come to know a few of you, people who have been traveling and have come through Corinth to tell me your story, people who have been out in the field and have worked with me, and some of the Jews who were kicked out of Rome with all of the other Jews. It is good that they can now return. I think of Prisca and her husband Aquila. Greet them for me, would you? My friendship with them goes back years, to when they took me in when I first came to Corinth. Then they left Corinth with me to go to Ephesus. And then they stayed at Ephesus when I let to lead the church there, when I had to leave there to go to Jerusalem. They risked their lives for me when that riot broke out. And they aren't just important to me. I remember how they treated Apollos. Their home was always a place of welcome. And Epaphras, my dear friend. He was the very first person who accepted the message and joined the movement in Asia. And look what has happened since. I am so happy that he is here and there now with you. And Mary. She is one of the Jews in Rome, you know. She has worked so hard for Christ and for all that we're trying to do in the movement. We could not do it without her. And give Andronicus and Junius a kiss for me, would you? Another couple. Now, since they've changed their names, you might not know that they too are fellow Jews with me. I think of them as family. Especially after we were in prison together because of this faith we claim. So you should learn from them. They may be the only ones among you who knew Jesus in the flesh, and they have suffered for their belief in him. And then there are the slaves that I know among you too. I think of Hermes, who's welcomed believers into that small home of his and witnessed Christ from such a simple place in life. He may be poor in worldly power, but that has never stopped him, has it? Ampliatus is another slave that I came to know. He has a freedom in Christ that no master could ever give him. Oh, my friends, just think of it. Look at yourselves. Sit the families of those two slaves right next to the family of Aristobulus, Herod's grandson. I have heard that they are with you too. I imagine that. And I realize the power of our faith. Families of slaves and families of overlords who are now sisters and brothers. What a church you already have. And so a few more, if I may. Give my love to those dear sisters, Tryphenia and Tryphosa, and to Persis. You have welcomed single women as equals in your community without fear of the criticism that you have received from the outside. Good for you. And dear Stachys, I just love that guy. Nothing more to say. Oh, and please, please find Rufus and his mother. You know, she was a mother to me too when we were together. But before I close this letter, I must mention another couple to you, a true sister and brother in the Lord. I think of dear Kristen and faith-filled Brandon. They've been workers for God since they met. First in Flagstaff, a little ways north of Corinth. And then when they went to Jerusalem, or was that Princeton, to study the mothers and the fathers of the faith. And then they went to the faithful in Scottsdale, where she served the youth and so many more. And he too. They have been so much a part of all that we're trying to do for the cause of Christ. They're coming to you now with Phoebe and the others. Take care of them. Love their children. Make a way for them. They will serve well if you'll let them. So listen to them. Don't fight with them. And don't assume that it's all up to them. Come alongside them with your talents, your precious coins, your prayers, your time, and your commitment to work with them. If you do, I know that the faithful in Scottsdale will get good report from the Gentiles in Montana. We will see God's kingdom come a little bit closer until that one day when we are all together in glory to reunite, to tell our stories, to give thanks for all that God has done through us. Hey, did you catch what I just did? I bet you did. Pretty clever, huh? I just slipped Kristen and Brandon kind of right in there. Part of the story. Just about 2 millennia later, they are part of the same story. And we are too. It is the story of a movement. It is the story of a movement that is so much larger than any one of us or any one of our pastors or any one of the interests or questions or passions that we bring to it. And it is the story of a movement that is not done yet. And we can be glad about that. I said that it's the story of a movement. You could even call it a conspiracy, and each one of us has our place within it. I mean, looking around, you might not think that we're engaged in a conspiracy here. I mean, we look pretty respectable and above board, except for one or two of us, and you know who you are. But in God's eyes, we are doing here, this day and every time we gather, something that is quite revolutionary. That is why Paul tells us to greet each other with a holy kiss, you see. We have translated that into a genteel shaking of a hand and a pleasant good morning, occasionally a piece of Christ, but he meant a kiss. He meant what became in the tradition of the church, what became called the conspiritus, the exchange of breath, the conspiracy of faithful, that every time the people of Christ gathered, they kissed each other to exchange breath, to create a bond that is unshakable, a bond that is a conspiracy in a world that would break us apart. What we do here is dramatic. And when we do this, it is easy to look around and see that it is an institution. We have the trappings of it all. And it's easy sometimes, because we feel like an institution among other institutions, to forget the power of what we're about. We begin to fall into a kind of unconscious ethic of self-preservation. We desire to stabilize and maintain the institution. It happens almost unconsciously, and we slowly turn inward. But you know, don't you, that that's really not why we're here. You know, don't you, that we're a part of an organized resistance to the forces of death that too easily rule life. We're here to be prayerful, to be nimble, to look outward, to be excited, and to glimpse a new world that is just ahead. Few of the things that we do remind us more of this than youth ministry. And Kristen has proved that to us. For she has graciously but relentlessly reminded us for 5 years that youth ministry is about so much more than game nights and ski trips and rummage sales and helping kids get their community service hours for their school by going on a work trip. It is about so much more than confirming their place in the social order by encouraging them to be charitable to folks less fortunate. No, no, no. It's really about something quite different, she has shown us. It's about building trust and intimacy so that a deeper kind of work can be done. A work of question asking and soul challenging and bringing out youth into a story of friendship with others and participation in God's work, it is getting close enough to each other that she can ask our youth to make a choice in their lives to serve life over death, to serve love over ambition, to serve justice over success, and to serve Christ over all. She has had to know what she is doing and why she is doing it in every single moment. And along the way, she has loved our kids into faith. Our youth require us to be real, to the point, and willing to deal with hard questions. It is in that ministry the laboratory for everything that we do here. Shouldn't everything we do feel and look like that? Of course it should. And the leaders who follow Kristen in that ministry will continue to guide us in that way. And we will continue to learn from them. And so another thing that long list of names in the last chapter of Romans can teach us is that the movement that we're a part of is bigger than any of its leaders in one moment, even its clergy. It simply is. Saying goodbye is hard. It should be. But if we have our eyes on God's kingdom, we can be sad out of love and not sad from self-interest or fear. We can know that God has something in store for us all and that we are all in good hands. The only way that things can go poorly is if we hold on too tightly. If we do that, we won't give God much room to work. But if we can let go and turn our ears and open our hands and present ourselves to God, God will come. I believe that. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't. And I believe that strongly enough that I can make a promise to you. If we let God come, God will come in God's own way. For we are a part of God's movement here. So the truth of it is this: God wants something for the world. And we meet our calling when we find ourselves wanting to be a part of what God wants. We might wrestle over how to understand what God wants. We might only see through a glass darkly sometimes, but we should never let each other forget the fact of it, that God does want something for the world, and that we are a part of God's movement when we find ourselves wanting, honestly, humbly, and passionately wanting to be a part of what God wants. And so the movement that I wrote Kristen and Brandon into, and into which every one of us is written when we are baptized, is not done. Many around us speak of the decline of the church. Many around us wring their hands about what's to become of us. Oh, what's to become of us? How do we preserve these institutions? What's happening with such cultural change around us? The church is dying. But my friends, that is quite wrong. That is quite wrong because God is not done with us. God is not done with God's people. The church is changing. But God is not done with it. And we will be a part of what God is doing in the world when we open ourselves to it. We will change. And that's good. Kristen and Brandon now go off to be a part of that unfinished story of what God is doing with God's people in Miles City. But we are part of the same story, yet unfinished, right here. So let God write it among us. Amen.